Hi, Sandra. How are you?
Good morning. Just wonderful. And you?
I am fine. Thank you very much. Here is the question du jour. What six career missteps await? Only six?
Yes. Well, there are more, but we'll just discuss these. But before we get into the six misstep, which is very interesting, from a book by Deborah Benton of How to Think Like a CEO, where she identifies these six behaviors as a curriculum. But I want to discuss an article that appeared last week in the New York Times, When the Bully is the Boss. Very interesting piece. We know about, Senator Amy Klobuchar. Nascent campaign is fending off a stream of stories from former members of her staff that she was a volatile, high-handed boss who often demeaned and humiliated people who work for her. She's one of the highest rates of turnovers in the Senate. Probably, I'll tell you, Jill, probably the highest rate of turnover. Nobody wants to work for her. Within an interview, the bully boss, am I a tough boss sometimes? Yes, she said in a recent CNN forum. Have I pushed people too hard? Yes. The presumption that tough bosses get results and fast compared with gentle leaders is widespread and rooted partly in the published stories of successful CEOs. For example, you remember the basketball coach of Indiana University, Bobby Knight, who, by the way, went to Ohio State with me. He's the author of The Power of Negative Thinking. He was notoriously harsh and enormously successful, obviously, the most winning coach Indiana has ever had. And so is Steve Jobs, the co-founder of Apple. However, researchers who study organizations, productivity, and leadership styles attributes the achievements of such figures to exceptional ability. In other words, what he is saying in this article, When the Bully is Boss, and it's a carry, by the way, is, you can be tough as long as you are exceptional. People like Bobby Knight, who threw a chair across the basketball arena and eventually got fired for that, and Steve Jobs, who was an amazing entrepreneur, very, very creative, obviously, and he kept his job, but people did not enjoy working for him. They made a lot of money, so for Jobs, so that was good, but people did not enjoy working for him, I'm told, by people who did work for him. So the career steps the author, Deborah Plantum, very interesting. One, talking too quickly. She says, speed makes what you say seems unimportant, if you've heard it all. I love Meet the Press. I love Chuck Todd. He's great. Speaks too fast, though. He speaks too quickly, so you miss a lot of what Chuck Todd has to say, although, you love listening to him on Meet the Press. Okay, that's my editorial. Two, giving too much detail. When you're asked at the time of day, don't explain how to build a watch. Some CEOs just go on and on and on and on. So giving too much detail, misstep number two. Three, judging others too quickly. People who don't suffer fools lightly, says Miss Benton, they often end up thinking that most everyone is a fool, and that's what they do. A lot of the CEOs that I have seen end up thinking that way. Okay, next. Criticizing yourself exclusively. Effective leaders don't engage in too much about their own inadequacies. You really should. You make a mistake, admit it. Don't wait. Don't wait for someone else to discuss your mistakes or publish on it. You criticize yourself exclusively. but that's a misstep. But just remember, you make a mistake, admit it first, okay? Don't get into trouble like all the others have by not admitting it and have the press or emails come out about your mistakes first. Next, using weak body language and speaking voice. You know, nervous gestures, poor posture, and a timid tone of voice can spoil an image fast. I've seen that a lot. You know, very bright CEOs, high IQs, but their gestures are awful. Postures and people tend, you know, to make fun of the way they walk, you know, and the timid tone of voice. And they're right. That can spoil what people think of you very, very quickly. Thinking that skills are enough. Most people want to do better in their careers, and they think working harder on the technical side is all that matters. Make yourself distinct, not extinct. Competence is generally there, but executive maturity as expressed in behavior is more important. Okay. And, you know, we can think, all of us, of some other way to sabotage a burgeoning career. Okay. Work till it alienates. Working till it alienates. Don't always disappear into your office at lunch or be the first one in and the last one out. Not a good reputation. Mix, relax, show up for office events, master the culture, then become part of its fabric, okay? Become one of them. Next, becoming a type, not a person. Bad misstep. Don't let yourself become known for a certain style of clothing, a specific hobby, a catchphrase, a quirk, or a temper. All your facets need to be famous all the time. Very important, okay? So becoming a type, not a person. Misstep. Failing at impartiality. The risk of obeying your inner fire is that your judgments may develop too quickly and be expressed too rashly. The closer you to a Switzerland mentality, of course, that is adopting a neutral attitude in the midst of controversy and conflict, the more likely you'll emerge unscathed from them. Detached from gossip, conjecture, inflammatory headlines, and the personal trauma of others. Very important. And, you know, what I'm thinking is the things that people do before you make a big speech, to be sure, you know, you're using the right body language and speaking voices, that rehearse with a pro. Rehearse with a professional presentation skills person. I mean, when I have to give a speech, you know, John Rashauer, a great person for professional speakers. I go to his office, look at the monitor, and boom, I do it with him. He is mine, but you must rehearse with a pro. Very, very important, okay? So that's about it for getting it redone and off on when the bully is the boss. When you're exceptional and fantastic at what you do and a results-oriented person, yeah, sure, you can be the bully. As I mentioned, Bobby Knight, the Indiana basketball coach, and, of course, Steve Jobs as well. So that's a little bit about that. Okay, Jill?
Yeah, I think that people should take note of the at the beginning of the show, the misstep, the body language. You know, whatever your demeanor, whatever your act is, that's one thing that you should hone at business school. But the public presentation of your physical body angle is more important, I think, than a lot of newbies know.
Right.
Because it comes from a different time, and they're not used to being, let's just say, evaluated by what they look like when they walk into a room. Right. And one of the things that I was mildly heartened by along the way is that now there are classes being offered for things that you have talked about in your earliest shows, such as walking into a confident demeanor, how to hold a room, you can't just watch TV and copy it from there, because there's a lot more, let's just say, background work and practice that goes into it.
Right. Well, you can also, compare. I don't want to get into politics, but compare the way Trump has handled his folks and all the people who have submitted their resignation to him compared to Obama or to Bill Clinton. Totally different, completely different. So some of the missteps that I mentioned can be attributed to Mr. Trump, of course, as well.
Right, because people emulate what they see.
Yes, exactly.
And that doesn't necessarily help if you don't have the context of if you don't have context.
Exactly right. Exactly. So anyway, that's a little bit about missteps and
only six of them.
What you have to look out for.
All right. Thank you very much, Sandra Flaum, Leader's
Edge.
Have
a great day.